ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over. Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports pylon studios. Check it. This is WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of being on top, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airways. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and award-winning writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but I've always found out that the average fan has a different insight into the sport. So if you want to jump in here, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7510. Or get us on the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. What's that number? 415-275-1613. The text line once again, 415-275-1613. Of course, we've got a fight going on today from the UK, of course, Danny Dubois, the world-ranked heavyweight, taking on a guy by the name of Bongdun Danu. And of course, last week, Devin Haney, San Francisco very own WBC lightweight champion, defended his title with a 12-round unanimous win over Jorge Linares. We'll hear from both of those guys. The boxing PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, will be here at about 40 minutes past the hour. We'll take it to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rain. For bottom line is, we're going coast to coast and around the world here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and of course, the live Twitch.tv broadcast, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, I think you know that. The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamalera, he's doing gigs now, I think in Dublin, California. I'll get to that in depth in next week's show. But Jeff, of course, everybody's coming back as far as the pandemic's concerned. And in fact, I've got an announcement right now. Palometto Productions is going to go July the 3rd at the Old Caesars Palace, which is Club Rocopoco. It holds about 500 people. That's going to go down July 3rd. Of course, we're going to rock and roll. This will be La Fuente 2021. The website, tickets will be on sale Monday morning. So bottom line is, I'm ready to rock and roll, getting the promotional hat back on once again. The pandemic is history, I hope. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated, taking it to the West Coast, bringing in boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, sir, how are you today? Sock? How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's a dead boxing weekend, but, you know, what can you say?
We'll get to the death in the next segment. But bottom line, let's talk about Devin Haney. Of course, Devin Haney out of San Francisco now, 26-0, WBC lightweight champion, successful over last week over Jorge Linares. And, you know, when you look at Haney's performance, he got hit a couple of times, and he reacted well to the punches. Well, what I got to ask is, does he take a good punch or is he chinny? I mean, can we take anything from that fight with Linares?
Well, I mean, I've been in the gym with Devin Haney got dropped with a flash knockdown. Okay. One time he sparred a friend of mine here in New York. He was heavier. My friend's a junior middleweight. So I have seen Devin Haney rocked. And in this instant, he really showed, I gotta give him credit. You know, he showed heart. You know, he showed heart. It was, Linares shows he still has it in him, which is he's a live fighter, even at this
but time, I hate to cut you off, Mr. Boxing PhD, but, you know, like Eddie Cross said last week, he didn't have enough to, you know, we'll hear from Linares in a little bit, but he didn't have enough to go for the kill. In other words, when you're the, I've said this for some my entire life. But when you're the opponent in a fight, in a boxing match, everything is against you. Basically, the promoter, the matchmaker, they've drawn this match on paper for you to lose, okay? So you get one opportunity to win. Maybe, you've got to take it and go for it like it's death or nothing. You know what I'm saying? And Linares, I thought, had that chance and didn't do it.
You are spot on. I mean, Haney's luck, you know, was that the punch happened about a second or two before the bell. I think if it happens, you know, with about 30 seconds, you know, the conversation that we're having on the phone is a lot different, you know. And then the next round, he still, his legs weren't under him, and he basically went to hug Linares. I mean, I don't think he's ever hugged his father that way. It was that egregious. And, you know, it was, you know, he became an internet meme over that. But, you know, it was a great shot. Linares, once again, you know, falls short. You know, in a big fight. I mean, we saw him drop Lomachenko a couple of years back, and gave Devin Haney basically the first 8 rounds. He didn't do much. I mean, I can't say gave it away. Devin had a great game plan. He stuck to it. His jab was beautiful. Showed decent defense, but about the last 4 rounds or so, he I don't know if it was gassed out or the punch definitely had something to do with it, and Devin Haney turned defensive. It was reminiscent of Camacho and Rosario. I wonder how Devin Haney's gonna fight the rest of his career.
Well, that was cute. I know what you're talking about, because in the 5th round of that fight between Edwin Rosario and Hector Camacho, may they both rest in peace, the Macho Man got rocked with a left hook, and he was never macho after that.
Never again. he was a different Hector Camacho the rest of his career after that shot by the late Chapo Rosario.
Linares is going to be the bridesmaid, never the bride, correct? I mean, that's going to be his legacy.
I can't say that because he was a former world champion, and he's been around for a while now. I mean, Linares is not a spring chicken. He's, he's fought Luke Campbell, Lomachenko, like we said, you know, but definitely it might have been his swan song. I don't think we're going to get maybe another as good Linares if he fights a high level opponent. But you can't count him out. The guy's always in shape, you know, and he has no bad habits outside the ring. My question going into that fight was, is his face going to hold up? And it did. You know, normally he's a guy that cuts and bruises easy, you know, but he held on. You know, his face held up. He just got started way too late in the fight.
Okay, cuts and bruises easy. Jorge Linares, let's hear him post-fight.
Here we are with Jorge Linares after his tough fight with Devin Haney. You almost had him, Jorge. You had him really, really hurt.
You know, I know very well. I lose the first round to still to fight. I lose because, you know, it's the inactivity. I was so tired because I was thinking only the block, and then when I gave the chance, give it to him, punch, you know, combination, everything like that, because I have more punch than him. But the referee was a little intense, and then after 6th round, I gave the chance to give it to him, a lot of punch. The 9th round, I have a big chance. When he come back to the ring, he was so bad, and then he come to only click me, clinch. Yeah. So, and the referee was more intense. I was thinking you want to take one point, you know? But, you know, boxing is like that. I was good. I'm very happy with my job. But, you know, the inactividad es muy fuerte.
Inactivity is very hard.
Son 16 meses sin pelear, y por más que sea, siempre me afectó.
And it affected him a lot.
Y cuando comencé a golpearlo, comenzó a agarrarse, y el referee también estaba fastidioso. Pensé que me iba a quitar puntos.
I thought the ref was going to take points from me because, you know.
But, you know, boxing is like that. So, if I tell to Golden Boy, give it to me the opportunity again for rematch, he don't want to do that. 100% he don't want.
How did Devin feel in there? How was the jab?
No, he was fast. He was fast. He was fast, but I didn't feel his punch. I didn't feel his punch. He has only good speed. Good speed, but only that.
What else was difficult in the fight for you, you think?
His style is a little difficult because he's going always back, and then click.
No doubt about it. Jorge Linares came to fight, but like he was 38 years old or 39 years old or 55 years old. The bottom line, he was old and couldn't go for the kill. And I'll say it again. If you're the opponent, you're the guy, everything's against you. The blueprint's against you. I mean, everybody's drawing this fight up. You're supposed to lose. You get a chance to win. And if you don't jump at it, shame on you. Bottom line is the flip side of this coin, of course, was the winner. The WBC champion, 135 pounds, now 26 and zip. San Francisco's very own Devin Haney.
I think that, you know, there's no, the great thing about this situation is there is no network problems. And that's generally an excuse as to why a fight can't get made. So there are no excuses. So if Al Haymon wants to make an offer to us and Bill and Devin to fight Tank on pay-per-view, no problem. It's a massive pay-per-view fight. You know, if someone wants an offer from us, a sizable offer to do it on DAZN, no problem. So I think he's in such a great position because there are really no excuses as to why one of those fights shouldn't happen. And that's when I talked earlier about how I feel you guys gave Ryan Garcia a huge pass, because where's the excuse for that one? Same network, mandatory challenger. And it was just like, no, that's just not going to happen. Why? Why not? You know, I think there needs to be, people need to be more accountable if those kind of fights don't happen. So now, Tank, Teofimo, There's no excuse.
Who do you think, Devin, is the best of the 30, other than yourself, who is the best opponent for you at 35? Is it Teo, or is there somebody else you think is better?
All those guys are good. You know, I can't just sit here and just lie to the media and not lie to the fans and say that all those guys aren't good. Honestly, I think all those guys are good, and all of them will be a huge fight. But I really want belts right now. I want to become the undisputed lightweight champion in the world, so I mean, the one that I will want the most is Teo.
Teofimo Lopez, of course, put down Tank Davis. Didn't want to do the Tank Davis fight, but they're talking about that, putting Al Haymon together. Of course, Al Haymon, we'll see if that happens. I don't know if Al's willing to put up Tank Davis against this young man, Devin Haney, but we'll see what's happening. The Zone says, and Eddie Hearn says, they're willing to match these guys, and they're willing to go outside of the network. Of course, they got fights inside the network with people like Ryan Garcia, but Ryan's on the 21-day disabled list as of right now, I believe. Anyway, bottom line is Ring Talk Live Worldwide is not going to trash referee Russell Moura. I'm not going to personally. I'm going to let you do that. Was Russell Moura another fine performance by Russell Moura there, Socrates Palmer?
I really didn't notice him. You know, I don't think he did a terrible job. Whenever you notice a referee, that's, you know, he's doing a little too much. I didn't have a problem with Moura, who traditionally, you know, tends to be one of the worst referees, you know.
What about Las Vegas' other guy, Kenny Bayless? Is he up to snuff? I mean, he gets all these fights. Is he worthy of getting these fights?
I think that Kenny has had better, his better years are behind him. You know, I don't know if it's age. Sometimes when you do something for so long, you kind of get stale at your craft. You know, we've seen countless big mistakes, you know. The infamous one that I remember that was just so egregious was when Chino Maidana rocked Floyd Mayweather with overhand right, and he came in, like, to break up the action. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, what are you doing? That's not in the script, you know? So, I think it's time for Vegas to start cultivating young officials, that's for sure.
Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, and of course, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You ought to be having fun. Everybody,
come on, have some fun with me. Yeah. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
Mike Tyson, of course, talking to Hustle. He knows how to hustle. He's hustling weed now. Mike Tyson's weed brand, but he was talking about, of course, the exhibition with Roy Jones, which both those guys sort of like, they did a work. And I think that there's a good chance that the Logan Paul or Floyd Mayweather encounter exhibition, call it what you want, But Socrates Palmer, I'm going to ask you that. There's $80 million for Floyd Mayweather. You're $20 million for this guy Logan Paul. Is there a chance that for the $80 million that Floyd would do a work for this guy?
I don't think so. I mean, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next person, but no, I can't see this being anything other than what it is, a circus, a farce, a joke. Help me out here. I guess a fun night if you're a fan of Floyd Mayweather, and there's nothing wrong with being a fan of Mayweather, but if you're a fan of real boxing, this isn't it. And, you know, I'm actually shocked that Showtime has dove in head first into this nonsense going on tomorrow.
But here's what's up. I'm of the opinion that if this guy was to somehow catch Floyd Mayweather and lightning in a bottle, that kind of stuff, or at least rock him or hurt him or something like that, it would obviously expose Floyd for being the old man that he is. But it might bring more squares to the boxing scene. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think we need more squares.
Absolutely. Well, sports is the hardcore sports is a major business. We all know that. I'm not saying anything new. But squares are needed in all sports. I mean, why is the Super Bowl the biggest event of the year? Because it brings in a big amount of squares, you know, and a big fight does that, you know, absolutely. Listen, it's good exposure for boxing, in one aspect. You have a following that the Pauls have, you know, whether you like it or not, it's real, you know, it's a teenage generation Z. And if maybe 1 out of 100 is interested in going to a boxing gym, I think that's a good thing. You know, after watching, you know, someone that they look up to get in the ring. I mean, it's a farce, but you know, I will be a hypocrite and watch.
Okay, are you gonna pay for that?
You'll
find. Put it this way, you're gonna watch it over at a friend's house, right?
Yeah. I may stick my eye through the fence. You know, there might be somebody that'll order it in my neighborhood.
Okay. Nordine Obali and Nonito Donaire. Donnie, 38 years old, now the new WBC bantamweight champion, exactly. But Nordine Obali, it was like he had never been hit in the mouth before. Talk about squares. He just had that reaction, like, pow! He got smacked that first time, and from that point forward, he's like in shock.
Yeah, I mean, is a guy that had a very decorated amateur background, you know, an Olympian. Had beaten a couple of decent fighters too. You know, he beat Payano and Richie Warren, but he found out the new cliche, which is that there's levels to this sport. And he went into the ring with a Hall of Famer, and you know, credit to Nonito Donaire. You know, I thought he was going to win because he was a bigger guy, and I think that definitely played into it. You know, he was just he looked great. You know, he turned back the clock. And punched his ticket into the Hall of Fame with that performance.
Okay, and he hasn't called me. I've reached out to him to get an interview, and he hasn't called me because, you know, his wife, Rachel, runs the show. As far as she really runs the show, and I'm not saying that in a negative manner. She just runs the show. She was in the corner. Larry Merchant took note of that she was in the corner.
Yes.
And from what I've been told, she has essentially taken over training. She already had the negotiating power, but now she's taken over the training camp. She is she's the man, per se.
You know what? And Donaire said that too, I believe, in the post fight. I guess the evolution of the sport, you know, listen, there is no type of relationship that you can have like you have with your wife. Definitely breaks the old, you know, a lot of old timers like Ray Arcel probably turning over in their grave hearing that. But, you know, whatever works for them, you know.
Okay, all right. Now, I'm glad you brought up Ray Arcel because I just got a text here shot into me from Rob Hernandez, 60, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and he thinks that there's no great trainers left, that the last great trainer to go was Emmanuel Stewart. I'm going to bring up guys that I think that are world-class without a doubt. Brian McIntyre, we saw him in action recently. Ronnie Shields. Abel Sanchez appears retired. Joe Gallagher, Robert Garcia, although Garcia seems to be the bridesmaid in a lot of occasions and not the bride as far as his stable is concerned. Derek James, Freddie Roach, I don't know a whole lot about Derek James. Shane McGuigan I do know a bit about. And Virgil Hunter's local across the bay, of course, the trainer that brought us Andre Ray Ward. Any other big names jump out as far as top 10 trainers jump out for you? You're from New York.
Let me see. East Coast wise, Andre Rozier has had a decent run lately. Buddy McGirt, he's definitely had a lot of success. But, you know, there's a lot of great trainers that you just never hear about because they don't get the right horse, you know? I mean, the greatest jockey of all time was Willie Shoemaker.
Yeah.
You know, but he wasn't going to win the Kentucky Derby with a jackass. You know, you need the thoroughbred, you know? Emmanuel Stewart, just a guy that, a legend that took guys from the amateurs. You know, that's what I respected more about from Emmanuel Stewart. Took guys from day one. You know, a lot of guys, you know, tend to take over a finished product and just, you know, become good strategy guys or good motivational guys. But guys like Emmanuel Stewart, they don't seem to be around anymore. Freddie Roach has worked extensively with the U.S. amateur program. And from what I understand, it still works like an 8-10 hour day. You know, he's a lifer, you know, so, like most sports, it's easy to point out that the fundamentals are being lost, you know, and, I'll give you a good example. There's some guys that just, they try to do this Mayweather-like, pad work, you know, and then they put a towel over their shoulder and they call themselves a trainer.
Well, I've been going through this, but that, I've noticed that since the beginning of time. The first time I walked into a boxing gym in 1967, my father told me half these guys are bums. I said, what do you mean, the fighters? He goes, no, they're trainers. Nacho Berasin's a name that we skipped there. I think he's pound for pound maybe the best right now.
A legend, yes, absolutely. Yes, I mean, you know, since the Marquez brothers have, you know, gone, he really hasn't had anybody in the mainstream. You got to give, what's his name? Reynoso. Got to give him his props, too. Everyone, I mean, yeah, he's got the thoroughbred, but, you know, he also did a great job with Oscar Valdez.
Yeah, Bobby Benton down there in Houston's got a good, he's a pretty good trainer as well. So there are some up-and-comers, no doubt about that. Now, as far as the weekend's concerned, not a whole lot of boxing. Danny Dubois later. Pound for pound, though, right now, if you talked about the fighter of the year thus far, it has to be Donaire, the 3-1 underdog coming through like he did in the clinch against a younger guy that was undefeated. Man, you can't say enough about that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not dogging his wife because if it's a winning team and she's doing this, more power to her. 38 years old, something's got to be done a little bit differently.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure Nonito did not train the same way that he did when he was, you know, in the amateurs or when he was 20 years old, when he had young joints. You know, I'm sure he works out, you know, the best way to fit his body and more recovery. It's definitely, I would say he has to be in the lead for fight of the year, you know, and a great win, you know, it was a really great win, an upset, and he wants to keep going, you know, he wants to keep going, he wants to unify, he said. I saw the Australian fighter called him out, one of the brothers, Maloney. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting fight, you know, and of course he's looking for the rematch against Inonwe. I'm not sure if that fight ends any different, though. You know, as much as I like Donaire, I think he should stay away from the monster.
Yeah, he's young and he's got a little bit more experience, although he had some broken optic bones from that first fight, so Donaire did do some serious damage, no doubt about that. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, always a pleasure, sir. Say hello to the family agent. Tell Sophie, give Sophie my best. And, of course, the woman of the year, without a doubt, your wife. Give her my best. Give her props, man.
Thank you, brother. I certainly do. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's only PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. After the break, we'll take it to the UK and bring in, of course, Sir Kenneth Rainford. Why? Things are happening in the UK as far as television is concerned. Big television deals in the UK. And, of course, Kenny talked about this a few weeks ago. So what he predicted came true. We'll talk with the forecaster himself, Sir Kenneth Rainford, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV on Twitch.tv Sports Byline USA channel.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course, also WBC Boxing TV, coming to you on Sports Byline USA channel via Twitch.tv. The audio and video are supposedly coming together real sharp as far as Twitch.tv is concerned, because there's been some issues as far as the both. We seem to get one going. We seem not to get the both going. The bottom line is today it seems to be rock and rolling. Now, the five greatest boxing trainers of all time off the top of my head. Somebody wants me to go into this further in depth. Of course, I think that Angelo Dundee was one of them. Why do I say that? Because of the fact that, you know, Angelo made other trainers. He made other trainers look good. Angelo was complimentary. Angelo was one of those guys that always wanted to make the other guy look good. It made him look better, and he did. Of course, he had Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard, and anybody who has those type of talent support is probably going to head to superstardom without a doubt, because Ali was on a course to superstardom. But then again, you had Angelo Dundee saving him from that knockout loss there. Of course, 63, of course, Sir Henry Cooper knocking him down in the fourth round in that fight over there in London, England. And of course, Ali or Cassius Clay at that point in time, having no idea where he was, roaming around the ring, this and that. I mean, he was in a world of trouble. And of course, Angelo nicked open the glove. They had a little defect in the glove. The glove was ripped. So he said, hey, we can't fight. The glove's ripped. So they waited about 5 minutes. They looked around for a substitute glove. They couldn't come up with a substitute glove. So they went on with the fight. And of course, Ali at that point in time had cleared his head and went on to beat up the, you know, pretty old and damaged shop-worn Henry Cooper at that point in time. But Henry Cooper had that flash in the pan, and that saved Muhammad Ali. And of course, you have the time with Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hitman Hearns. What's that? September of 1981, battling for the undisputed world welterweight championship, 147 pounds. Ray losing that one fight to Roberto Duran, revenging that, of course, in the No Mas rematch. And then Thomas the Hitman Hearns, undefeated, knocking out Pepino Cuevas, knocking out everybody at 147. I mean, he was a king. And then he ran into Ray Leonard. And of course, he was beating Ray Leonard up for the most part. The early part of the fight, he was boxing Ray Leonard. And that's not a smart thing for Tommy to do, because Tommy was a killer. Tommy was a guy that went out there and destroyed you. So I couldn't figure out why Tommy was trying to box this guy. But it had a lot to do with the fact that Tommy came in at 145.3 pounds. And it was a pound and a half under the weight. Now, people say to me, how can a pound and a half that much have an effect on a guy's performance? Well, it had an effect on his performance, because they were up there in the shower. I'm talking about the steam room, and in the room there at Caesar's Palace, Emanuel Stewart had brought Tommy Hearns down way too much. In fact, you look at the look that Tommy gave Emanuel when he weighed in at 145.3. It was like, I mean, you could just see he was like upset, no doubt about that. And of course, he boxed the first six rounds, and then Ray Leonard hit him in the seventh round with a body shot, cracked the rib, and from that point forward, the hitman was a hurt man. And of course, the hitman swelled up that eye of Ray Leonard, the damaged eye. Of course, it was damaged under the left eye, I believe, and the eye was pretty busted up. It was getting ready to close, and then Angelo Dundee, in one of those epic, that probably his highlight of his career, without a doubt, he told the kid, you're blowing it, son. You're blowing it, son. You've got to do something here. And bottom line is, he got off the stool. He stopped Tommy Hearns, of course, in the 14th round. Referee Davy Pearl stopped that fight. Davy Pearl, a class act. Davy Pearl's the guy that told me about Sonny Liston, how Sonny Liston died masturbating. And the reason why I bring that up is that Davy Pearl was his manager. In fact, Johnny Tocco was his trainer, and Davy Pearl was Sonny Liston's manager at the time of his death back in 1969. I think it was 69-70, the New Year's Eve there. But what happened was, the Liston was unheard of. Nobody heard from Sonny for a couple of days. And his wife, I think her name was Geraldine, she happened to be out of town for a few days, coincidentally. And then, you know, Sonny was found in a locked house, naked on a bed with his underwear down around his ankles. So I don't want to give you some ugly x-rated visual here. I'm just trying to give you the visual of a crime scene, okay? You've got a man in a room. He's nude. His underwear are down around his ankles, and the house is locked from the inside. There was, the doors were double locked from the inside. All the windows were locked, and nobody could have got in the house. There was nobody entered the house. He was all by himself. So essentially, he came and went at the same time. That's what happened to Sonny Liston. So all these rumors and these conspiracy theories about the mob and him blowing the fight with Chuck Wepner, of course, not giving in to the mob's wishes to have Chuck Wepner win that fight with Sonny. Of course, Sonny busted up his face. I think broke his bones in four or five spots, if not more. Chuck Wepner, never the same. Never that great of a fighter. Of course, the story, Rocky Balboa. He is the real life Rocky Balboa. Of course, Sylvester Stallone stole that idea from Chuck Wepner. Didn't give Wepner any money. And then, of course, years later, Wepner would sue him and get a whole lot of money. And then Wepner would get a chance to read, I think, for the Rocky IV movie or the Rocky V movie. He didn't do too well. But the bottom line is, Stallone gave him a shot. Speaking of Stallone, my interactions with him, of course, in the 2004 what was it called? The Contender? The Contender TV series. Of course, in Las Vegas, Nevada, everybody was there. No doubt about that. Of course, that's the year that NBC did it. And, it was a big event. I mean, it was, and Stallone was there, and I interviewed Stallone, and I didn't come away all that impressed. I just didn't. And he knew it. He sort of knew I wasn't impressed with him. I just wasn't. And the girl that was taking the film, I remember she was saying to me, she goes, he's real short. He's a lot shorter than I thought. Speaking of guys that are short, Mike Tyson, of course, getting back in the news. They want to do this fight with Evander Holyfield. That's what they want to do. They can't get a place yet to say it's a fight, so they're talking about doing an exhibition. And speaking of Holyfield, he was supposed to go with Kevin McBride, of course, the last guy to beat Mike Tyson in a real fight. I think that was in 2004. And that sort of has been postponed or taken off the dice or something like that. And of course, June the 19th, it'll be the undisputed lightweight champion, the man himself. Talk about Teofimo Lopez, was 17 in zip, 12 KOs, of course, taking on the unbeaten lad from down under, George Kambosos, of course, from Australia. I think he's 20-0 now, coming off that win over Lee Selby in the UK. So he is a guy that talks a good game, and he's undefeated in this net, but he's not going to beat Teofimo Lopez. I don't think anybody's going to beat Teofimo right now, maybe except Teofimo. And the reason why I say that is he got fat between fights. Yeah, he did. I mean, he's taking off the weight now, but he got fat between fights. In fact, speaking of getting dropped, we talked about Devin Haney getting dropped a little earlier when Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, saw him, I think, in Gleason's gym get dropped by a junior middleweight. Same thing has happened in the other, people get dropped in the gym. It just happens. I never got dropped in the gym. I always thought that I did better in the gym than I did in fights. That's sort of terrible to do because, you know, you did okay in boxing matches, decent record in this and that, but I always thought I was a better gym fighter. I don't know. I just thought I was. And the bottom line is some guys can't fight in the gym worth a lick. Some guys fight real good in the gym. Some guys fight wonderfully in the gym and then when the bell rings, it's over. There's nothing about it. They have no idea on how to deal with it. So Mike Tyson contemplating the fight with Evander Holyfield, and once Holyfield gets by this Kevin McBride thing, of course, that's what they're trying to do to set it up. They're planting seeds. In other words, you know, this Jake Paul, Logan Paul, who the hell, I don't know. Anyway, with the Paul brothers and Floyd Mayweather, $100 million on the table and guaranteed money for these guys. I mean, how could I knock that? I mean, I don't like the concept of it, the fact that, you know, Floyd's pulling off a fraud and should be arrested for impersonating a professional fighter. But then again, I was always of the opinion that when Floyd Mayweather was at his peak, when he was at his peak, the excitement stopped when the bell rang. I mean, it just did. I mean, he talked about killing people and knocking people out and doing this and doing that. And then the bell rang and it was like defense, defense, defense. And I understand the defense. I understand why he went into a defensive mode. He looked at his uncle, Roger Mayweather, of course, the former world champion at 130 and 140 pounds. I think he skipped 135. But Roger, like, died about less than a year ago and he was like a vegetable. And I'm not trying to say that in a derogatory way. I'm just being factual about it. I mean, the guy couldn't talk. He was basically retarded, much like Wilfred Benitez is in Puerto Rico right now. So, you know, those of you that want these wars and this and that and get mad when people pull the plug, and I think pulling the plug early on fights is the way to go. I just do. I mean, once a guy is going to lose a fight and there's no chance of him winning, let's stop the fight. If a fight's really, and he was really guilty of that as the UFC. Of course, people like Brian Ortega, I think, are damaged goods forever. You take those kind of beatings in the UFC and it's all over. But boxing, I think boxing's getting smart now. And I think that Dr. Netan Sethi, of course, head of the head doctor of the New York State Athletic Commission, when he appeared on the show a fortnight ago, he talked about the importance of watching guys in training. When guys get buzzed in training, that it's, sometimes you've got to look at that as a knockout. I mean, because they are basically knocked out. You've seen guys get knocked out in gym. I'm not talking about getting dropped. Getting dropped, different than getting dropped with your eyes closed and losing your neurological senses just for a split second. That you've been knocked out, you've been neurologically circuited, therefore you are concussed and susceptible to a brain bleed. And that's what we're trying to avoid in the world of boxing and combat sports in general, is brain bleeds. And of course, the number one sport for brain bleeds, football, the NFL, no doubt about that. Most kids that do high school football had their bell rung a couple of times. And when I say bell rung, I mean concussions. A lot of guys I knew that went to South City High School with me. And I wondered when I saw them a few years later, they were just a little bit weird. And these guys, and I'm not going to name them, but they didn't do drugs. They didn't do booze. They weren't nothing like that. But they were a little off. And they were a little off from knocking those heads on the line. You can't knock heads like that, man. It just don't work. But, of course, the NFL finally copping to the fact that the residual effects from pro football are deadly. If not, you know, I mean, we've had guys on this show. Wayne Walker, my buddy at Channel 5, of course, he was with the Detroit Lions, a linebacker for a long time. He was the Channel 5 sportscaster for, what, 25, 30 years almost, and he sent Wayne Williams. He never came out and did me himself. He always sent Wayne Williams to cover my fights. Was it Wayne Williams? Ben Williams. He always sent Ben Williams to cover my fights. I never understood that, but he never came out. He never came out himself. But the bottom line is, you know, he knew what time it was. Do you know what time it is? Are you taking care of yourself? COVID times. That's what's happening right now. As far as the pandemic's concerned, it's breaking down. Boxing's coming back in a big way. The UFC, of course, they're trying to do their thing. More power to Dana White and those guys. But you know how I feel about Dana, the pimp of all pimps. I mean, if I see girls walking the streets of San Francisco, they're making more than the UFC fighters. And why do I say that? It's a fact. I mean, you can't have girls working the streets of San Francisco. That's not a TV show. Those are the hookers. You can't have girls working the streets of San Francisco for 10%. Or 8 to 10% or 8 to 12%. In other words, if you told the girl to go out there, you got to do this favor, this funny favor, for like $100 and you only give her $10, there's no way you can get away with that. But the UFC gets away with it week after week and day after day. And the bottom line is they brought in $790 million in 2020. So if 8 to 10% of that went to the talent, what's going on there? I mean, Dana White's got 10 points. The Fertitta, or used to have 10 points, and the Fertitta has sold that to that, sold out to that big corporate conglomerate, of course, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, for $4.5 billion, or $4.3 billion. That's $430 million. That's a lot of money. Come on, man. That's what they've done. That's what the USC supposedly is worth. I don't think it is. I think the Manchester soccer franchise and some of those people like Barcelona and things like that, and maybe the NFL, a couple of NFL teams are worth more than that. But guess what? They got that kind of price. So I guess it's worth what somebody will pay for it. The USC sold for USC made $790 million gross last year. And if you figure out 8 to 10%, those guys are doing real well, no doubt about that. Of course, the USC trying to say that, you know, they've done it the right way. Of course, they had Governor Ron DeSantis down there in Florida doing the arenas where they had people coming in, and they sort of said that the UFC was a necessary type of thing, like a doctor or some kind of stuff. And so was wrestling. So it happens to be that the lady that runs WWE, Linda McMahon, had contributed greatly to Ron DeSantis' campaign. So when Ron said you can do live wrestling events in Florida, no surprise there, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. One short segment to go, of course, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Sports Byline USA, of course, Sirius XM Satellite Radio 217, of course, live on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We'll have the retired godfather, Larry Merchant, will be in the house. That and more tomorrow on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower of power to the break.
Well, can I tell you something?
Huh?
I play high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is a tough sport. Compared to boxing, it's much tougher than boxing. I mean, I enjoy it while I'm playing it, but it's a tough, tough sport. I thank God that I did play while I started boxing. When I got tired from working hard, I fell off of football days, I kept it on going.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
The Love Boat captain passed this week, 9 years old, Kevin McLeod. I remember him from playing Happy Haynes and PT-73, McHale's Navy, back in the day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This is our last short segment before the end of the show. Eddie Futch, I think, was probably the greatest trainer, the greatest personality, the greatest human being I've ever come in contact with as far as trainers were concerned. He and Emmanuel Stewart are about like that. So props to both those guys, no doubt about that. June 7th, 1980, Jim Watt defending the World WBC Lightweight Championship with a 15-round decision over Howard Davis. Of course, Davis, the 1976 Olympic gold medalist, considered the MVP out of the Olympics, the only, probably the best boxer to never win a world title. That's Howard Davis. We've had him on the show in the past. He passed away a couple of years ago. He was a vegetarian. That sort of made him a little bit weird. He was like the first vegetarian I ever heard of in the world of boxing. And we went to that break there. We went to that last break. That was Ernie Shavers talking about playing football. And, of course, he knows a lot about taking hits. He was the hardest puncher in heavyweight history, but he didn't take a punch too well. Ernie could throw good. Ernie was, as I said, the hardest hitter in boxing history, but he didn't take that well. It's a different element, taking a shot versus dishing out a shot. Big time, different element, no doubt about that. Yeah. Fighter of the year, take that back. Let's talk about just for the fact that Kenny Rainford, like, no-showed us, and that wasn't intentional. I think we're having time zone difficulties as far as that's concerned. But he was going to expand on the fact that DAZN has now taken over all of matchroom boxing. And I'm talking about the fact that Sky Sports was like the king of networks in the UK, and now Sky Sports is not going to have any boxing because it's all going to DAZN. Barry Hearn's taking his entire show to DAZN. So what can I say about Sky Sports? If I was a stockholder, I think I would have sold my stock a few weeks ago. Smart move. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, we come to you Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, like 1,000 other internet platforms. You can catch us live and delayed at iHeartRadio. You can catch us live and delayed at twitch.tv. Of course, there's all kinds of aspects to watch your show. 24/7, you can always catch us at twitch.tv and iHeartRadio. At the end of the day, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I couldn't be here without you. 37, make that 38 plus years now, of the best listeners in the entire world. I want to thank Mr. Hernandez and the group of people that join me on twitch.tv until Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. This is Pedro Fernandez. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be listening to a million things, doing 1,000 different things, but the fact you're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network right now, well, myself and Scott Cuddy, my executive producer, we thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time.